You'll turn to Revelation chapter 12. We'll share from those, I believe there's 17 verses there. And I trust that we all open our Bibles and read along. And if you have, if the Lord lays something on your heart you want to share tonight in regards to the Scriptures, by all means, do so as we're sharing and moving through the book of Revelation. I appreciate the layman meeting last Wednesday night. We and of course the deacons meeting as well. We are very much interested in trying to see what we can do to stir more interest with our folks for Sunday night services and Wednesday night services. And so we've got some things in mind that we are looking to maybe put into effect, but it won't be taken away from the message, but it will certainly be, right now as we come together, for the most part we have one congregational song, and it may be a good opportunity for our youth and some of our other folks maybe to, if we can encourage them, to come and take part in the Sunday night service, where we can have maybe some special music or some special presentation or something of that nature. Our young people certainly need to get, we need to open the door for them to have more participation. And so I hope you'll pray about that and just... I know the ladies' auxiliary, I think, or the women's auxiliary also is it may be entertaining some thoughts about how we might do that. Revelation chapter 12. As Dr. McGee writes in his Through the Bible commentary on Revelation, on the book of Revelation, specifically this chapter, he says the theme of this chapter is the final conflict between Israel and Satan after he is cast out of heaven. You remember in Revelation chapter 11, I know it's been a while since we've shared from Revelation chapter 11, but it's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Revelation because it talks about the resurrection of those two witnesses. And what's very interesting here is in Revelation chapter 12, we see the devil getting kicked out of heaven. And we see him being kicked down thrown, cast down to the earth, where he begins to persecute heavily the children of Israel. But what is interesting in Revelation chapter 11, we see a rapture. We see two witnesses being caught up, and then we see Satan coming down. Church going up, Satan's coming down. I think You can have any number of theologians come up and suggest something different, but I think that's I think the way that Revelation 11 and 12 is laid out is very symbolic of that. But the preacher's outline and sermon Bible tells us that here in chapter 12, the curtains of heaven are rolled back that we may see not only the fact of an ongoing spiritual struggle between heaven, which is the domain of God, and earth, which is the domain of the devil, but also the characters of that struggle, and also the fact that we are involved in spiritual warfare. Remember, Paul told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In Ephesians 6:12, Paul writes, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so there are wicked spirits flourishing in this world today, and that we know without a doubt. A young 15-year-old boy who killed his mom and his dad and then went to his school and killed two students and wounded a number of others cried out in tears while being interviewed. He said, "I wish these voices in my head would shut up." And then he even tried to take his own life. I tell you today, some of the things that the young people, well, not just young people, but all all ages are getting involved in are just as demonic, I think. You know, you see these people who are tattooed, their bodies are tattooed all over. You go to Walmart and you can go through the checkout and there'll be a person who's checking you out that's got tattoos all the way up and around their neck and down their arms. And it's just, you know, the Bible clearly speaks to us. This is our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. These bodies were created by God, and God makes it clear in the Old Testament that to mark the bodies with any kind of marks is an abomination. But today, we have so many folks that are. I can't remember whether it was 2003 or 2004. But a group of Satan worshipers stopped. They were stopped by a police cruiser, and the police cruiser stopped them for some traffic infraction or something like that. But he let them go, and this group went to a rest stop. And the car that they were driving was an old beat-up car. Did anybody see this on maybe the television the other day or have seen about it? Anyway, there was about six of them in this old beat-up car, and they went to a rest area. And a family, a Jehovah's Witness family, was having lunch at this rest area. And this one of the members of that group went over to the to the table where they were having their lunch, and he pulled out a gun and he forced them to get back into their car, which was a van, and others got in the van with them, and one of the other members took the old car and they drove off in both vehicles, and they drove down the road just a mile or two and pulled off onto an old dirt road, and there the husband, the wife, and the two little children they killed right there on the side of the road. And then they put them in the shape of a pentagram, you know, the demonic sign of the devil, of demon worship. It's a sad thing today. It's a sad thing. You see a lot of folks that I know today we shouldn't judge a person's dress, but my goodness, what you see today just screams out at you. With suggestions that the devil has some kind of control over those individuals. But this chapter of Revelation reveals an intense spiritual struggle between three characters that John sees. The first character is the woman with the child. The second character is the great red dragon, which is Satan. The third character, a man-child that many believe to be both the Lord Jesus Christ and the church existing in the spirit of Christ today. Well, I don't believe that it's the church existing in the spirit of Christ today, because I don't believe in Revelation chapter 12 the church is there at all. So let's look at the first character, the woman with child. Let me remind you that six trumpet judgments have already sounded upon the earth at this stage of the Revelation, and as John reveals the following, we are still in the midst of the seventh and final trumpet of judgment. And then we have the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, too, that all six of the previous trumpets had as their principal aim to turn people around for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these trumpets are for the purpose of calling people to repentance. And so the first character of chapter 12, the woman with the child. But before we begin these verses, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for these that have come this way tonight. Father, we love you. We praise you, Father. We thank you for eternal life that you've given to us. We look forward to the day that you call us home, Father, to be with you. And Father, as we wait upon your coming, I pray, Father, that we would be mindful of our service to you as we wait upon your coming. Lord, that we are to reach out to others with the love of the Lord Jesus, and that others might see Jesus in us. Lord, we pray tonight that you would use us, speak to us, Father, through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And there appeared, let me read it again, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. So the question is, who is this woman? Who is this woman? The Catholic Church says it's Mary, the mother of Jesus. Could be, couldn't it? Others see her as the church of all ages. But the identification of this woman is found in the presence of the sun, it's found in the presence of the moon, and in the presence of the stars. And if we'll turn back, if you just, where you're at, if you'll turn back to Genesis chapter 37, you'll see the identification of this woman. Genesis chapter 37, I want to read verses 9 and 10. Joseph is having a dream. In fact, it was, I believe it was one of his first dreams. Genesis 37, verse 9, it says, and he dreamed yet another dream. So it wasn't his first dream. And he dreamed yet another dream and told his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. What is Revelation talking about? Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. It's talking about a woman who was clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And Joseph says, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance or bowed down to me. And so listen to his father's response to him. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? So who is that woman? The sun is Jacob, the moon is Rachel, and the stars, the 12 children of Israel. The woman represents the family of Jacob, known today as Israel. And remember that Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And the woman, therefore, represents the nation of Israel. The child came forth out of the nation of Israel. The man-child is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in verse 5. And she brought forth a child who was to rule. Did I miss verses 4 and 3? I'll pick them up. I'll come back to them. But verse 5 says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and their child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So the woman is travailing in pain to bring forth this man-child. Isaiah 66, verse 7 and 8 says, before she travailed, she brought forth, and before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing, and who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And so Israel has been traveling for many years looking, are travailing for many years looking for their coming Messiah. They have been under great persecution. Israel is the she that brings forth the Savior of the world. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 9 that Christ came forth out of the nation of Israel. Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertains the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And so Paul says that Christ himself came forth out of the fathers of Israel. And so the woman comparing Scripture with Scripture must be Israel, and the man, Christ, the man-child must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the second character of this chapter. Verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads." This description shows the power and the authority that Satan has upon this earth. The power and the authority that man has actually given to him. That's exactly what happened when Adam rejected the Word of God. He turned the deed of this earth that was given to him. You know, God gave Eve power and dominion over the earth. They turned around and they bestowed that. They gave that to Satan. So this description shows the power and the authority that Satan has upon this earth, the very power and the authority that man has given to him, and that God permits to exist. God permits that power to exist on this earth today. The preacher's outline in Sermon Bible says, when Scripture speaks of Satan as a dragon, it is referring to the evil work he does, not to his looks or appearance. The seven crowns symbolizes authority, rule, and dominion. The ten horns symbolize great power and control. Jesus called Satan the prince of this world in John chapter 12, verse 31. And he called him the prince of this world also in John chapter 14, verse 30. "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes, and he hath nothing in me." And then Paul tells us that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians 2:2. "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." And John tells us that Satan has a fast grip upon this world. Well, there's no doubt about that today. There's no doubt about that. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, John says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." And so Satan has great power and authority in this world, and he is a deceiver in both this world and in heaven. As we come to verse 4, it says, "And his tail," speaking of the dragon, "his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born." And you know that's true of today. Moms and dads, boy, raising children. Moms and dads raising children in the world today. My, they need to keep them close to the Lord Jesus. They need to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, because the devil just is right outside the door, just waiting to have them. Satan's aim today and has been for all time is to destroy the nation of Israel. And might I add that he has a newer enemy that he seeks to destroy today. In you and me, as we wait upon the coming of the Lord. And this is a perfect picture of Satan's work today. He is out to destroy the witness of Christ. Boy, he sure got a good number of advocates on Capitol Hill, doesn't he? Can you imagine that? Embryonic stem cell research has accomplished nothing. And yet the adult stem cell research has accomplished quite a bit. And yet Capitol Hill is still demanding, they still want more money to support research in embryonic stem cell research. Verse 5 says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness." Now, who is the woman? Who is it? The nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. Israel's not seen the Lord Jesus Christ. The Orthodox Jews don't recognize the Lord Jesus Christ today as their Messiah. And so they're going to be here. They're going to be here. And it says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. This is the period of the great tribulation. Israel will be fleeing for her life. Remember that all kindness is shown Israel by the Antichrist for the first 3.5 years of the great tribulation period will come to an abrupt end, and she will be caught completely off guard when the Antichrist breaks his covenant and comes to destroy her. And Israel will flee into the mountains, and then all heaven will break out in spiritual conflict. Verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now who wins the battle? Michael and his angels. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Jesus has been all this time at the right hand of the Father in heaven interceding for you and I, as Satan came accusing us of sin every day, even today, right today. Satan is accusing you and me before the throne of grace, and yet Jesus is standing right there interceding on our behalf. Father, I've washed him in my blood. Praise God. Praise God, because we stumble every day. We fall every day. We make mistakes every day. And we're not worthy of the least of God's many wonderful blessings, and yet he pours them out on us because he loves us. But Satan accused us of sin every day. Verse 10 will tell us this as we get to it. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And verse 10 says, and I heard a voice saying in heaven. Boy, they were happy to get rid of him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Aren't they rejoicing? They're rejoicing. This old rascal's not coming back here to accuse our brothers and sisters anymore. And verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him how? By the blood of the Lamb. The old song, Victory in Jesus, is absolutely true, isn't it? Victory in Jesus. How do you and I overcome the vicious and possibly true accusations made before a perfect and holy throne of God about us? How do we beat Satan and his charges against us? How do we do that? That's right, that's right. And they overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. We gain the victory over Satan when we fully trust day by day the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood cleanses us from all sin. John tells us in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he's in the light, and we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then Paul says, if Christ be for us, who can be against us? If Christ be for us, who can be against us? I remember, when I think about that, I remember a message that was brought many years ago when I was much younger. But this pastor said, Moses, 80 years old, how intimidating it must have been for Moses, as old as he was, to walk down through that palace, the towering palace pillars of the Pharaoh, and walk up to his throne and deliver that message from God, let my people go. My goodness, today Satan is so powerful, and yet for you and I don't want to stand against Satan. I don't want to go one-on-one with Satan, and neither do you. I'm so thankful that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by way of the Holy Spirit and by the very presence of angels, defends me from Satan. Because I'm no match for Satan, but Satan is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm putting my trust and confidence in Him. And I trust that even though we fall miserably and we stumble, we do our best to put Him first in our life. Verse 12 says, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Heaven's rejoicing because Satan and his herd has been cast out. But look down at the earth. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath. You see that? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And verse 13 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which was brought forth, which brought forth the man-child, and he persecuted the church that was with her." And verse 14 says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time for the face, from the face of the serpent." Did you follow me in that reading? Did you find anything wrong with that reading? Let me read it to you again. Follow along with me, if you will. Verse 13. "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and he persecuted the church that was with her." Is that what the Bible says? That's right. That's not what the Bible says. I just threw that in just to see if anybody was listening. Because the church ain't there. The church is not in the Great Tribulation period. The church is not going to go through this. And it's one of the most remarkable things about Revelation after chapter 4. You don't hear anything else about the church because the church is in heaven. But I just threw that in there just to see if you were listening. Let me just go ahead and read verse 14 again. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent." Listen, in Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Wherever this place is that the woman or Israel flees to during the Great Tribulation period, it is clear that God will provide security and He'll provide protection for them. His grace will be upon His people, Israel. No matter what the devil tries to do, God will provide protection. And verse 15 says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman." I mean, he's done this great miracle. He's just pouring out water to chase after the nation of Israel that's fleeing. "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." He's trying to do one of God's miracles, isn't he? Well, he's going to do miracles. I mean, the Bible teaches us that in the last days, in those days, during the Great Tribulation period, Satan is going to demonstrate some great and marvelous things. And verse 16 says, "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth." And so someone might say, someone might suggest that the devil can't do that, as I just mentioned. Yeah, he can. You'll remember that in the book of Job, when God gave him permission to attack Job's material blessings, to attack his family, you'll remember that Job called lightning down out of heaven and burn up everything that Job had. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the devil. Stay with me. Stay with me. Lord knows I need the help, Dan. That's right. Satan, But it was in the book of Job that that Satan was given that the permission and he had the power to call down lightning out of heaven. And sometimes, you know, you think about the storms which of the storms has God got his hand in, and which has Satan got his hand in? And the answer to that is that God has his control of everything. So whatever it is that that God is permitting Satan to get away with, Satan is still under God's control. So we need not worry about that. We just need to be close to the Lord Jesus. We just need to walk under that under his wingspan, as Psalm 91 says. Why would God show his grace and his mercy to Israel during this time? Why would he show his grace and his mercy to Israel during this time? Well, the answer to that question is, God has always shown grace and mercy to Israel. God has always been there to protect Israel. God has always been there pouring out his blessings upon Israel from Abraham's day right through the Great Tribulation period. But verse 17 says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, who does that say has the testimony of Jesus Christ? The Jews. Now they're fleeing. Obviously, they've got the message. Now they're running, and they're running to hide, but they're keeping the commandments, and they're keeping their trust in the testimony, and they have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at it. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." These Israelites have seen the light of their Messiah and have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. J. Vernon McGee closes this chapter with an interesting point. He says, "From the brickyards of Pharaoh's Egypt, Haman's gallows, Herod's cruel edicts, Hitler's purge, and to the world of the Great Tribulation, Satan has led the attack against these people because of the man-child, Jesus Christ." Satan, even today as we wait upon the rapture, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so Paul warns us, as he did at the very beginning of the church age, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all," you know, when you've used every weapon you can, Paul says, "Stand. Stand for the Lord Jesus." Well, I'm certainly thankful that I'm not going to be here during that time. And I'm thankful that you're not going to be here during that time. But knowing what is going to take place, being able to take some folks. Well, the problem with taking the unbeliever to the book of Revelation is that he's not going to understand anything you read to him in the book of Revelation. You may understand it, but they're not going to understand it. It's the hardest thing in the world to take a person to the simple message of John 3:16 and have them read that and see if they understand that. Without the power of the Holy Spirit working in that relationship, that person will never understand what a verse of the Scripture, except to criticize it, mock it, and make fun of it. But you know what the book of Revelation, you know what Revelation chapter 12 says, and you know what is God's plan for the future of Satan and his followers. And you know what God's plan is for you and I. How wonderful it is to know that. God's merciful and gracious to us. Any comments tonight? That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, today, as I mentioned this morning, today the major concerns for the world, first, is the stock market. I mean, because everybody's money, or the big wheelers, their money is wrapped up in the stock market. You know, God says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon's being the money. You know, there's two. No man can serve two gods. And yet, the god of this world is money. And after that, I believe, is politics. And after that's Hollywood. And the devil's got his hand in every one. But you know, too, the devil's got his hand in the church, too. The devil's got his hand right in the middle of the church. So, I tell you, it's best to walk with the Lord Jesus every day and just be in His Word. And don't believe what people tell you about His Word. Read His Word. Read His Word. Any other comments tonight? Well, it's good to see you out tonight. I appreciate you coming. And we just pray that maybe we'll... you know, you share the Word. You would hope that folks would come for the Word, but somehow we feel like there must be something else that we need to do. Well, it says that the way is narrow and the gate is a straight gate, and few there be that find it. And sometimes, I guess, you know, you love to see on Sunday morning the folks that come out. I mean, we would have had a full house this morning if the ladies had been back with us from the mountains. But Sunday mornings, and really you should praise the Lord. We should be praising the Lord that we have the turnout that we have on Sunday morning. But somehow Sunday evenings, when it's an opportunity to kind of get more into the Word of God, into the study of the Word of God, it's that core, you know, it's that nucleus of the church. And the nucleus of the church, when I'm talking about the nucleus of the church, they're the workers. They're the ones that are teaching. They're the ones who are anxious to serve. They're the ones that are always there, going to always be there, present for this particular work or that particular work. And those that come on Sunday morning, well, I'm sure they love the Lord. And you'd love to have them be more active as the nucleus of the church. But just like you said, Jay, there's too much out there. There's too much entertainment out there. There's too many good things on TV this evening for folks to pull themselves away from that TV and come. And so I'll tell you this, I appreciate you for coming tonight. I appreciate you so much. And we praise the Lord that we have a nucleus. Amen. Well, I'm going to ask Barbara if she'll come. If you'll come and play an invitation, or just so we can have a closing song, or Deb, if she can come and she can play, either one of you. I'll go up there and play, but I mean, we're not going to know what it is.